Se tu bande asique la danus teis. Se tu bande asique la danus tirtes nan. Rameshwara dekitahan kurila vishran. Se tu bande asique la danus tirtes nan. Rameshwara dekitahan kurila vishran. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setu Banda, Rameshwara, where he took his bath at a place called Danush Tirtha. From there he visited the Rameshwar temple and then took rest. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The path through the ocean to the islands known as Mandapam and Pambam consists partly of sand and partly of water. The island of Pambam is about 11 miles long and 6 miles wide. From the Pambam harbor, 4 miles to the north, is a temple known as Rameshwar. It is said, Devi Patanam Arabhya Gacheyu Setu Bandhanam. After visiting the temple of the goddess Durga, one should go to the temple of Rameshwar. In this area, there are 24 different holy places, one of which is Danush Tirtha, located about 12 miles southeast of Rameshwar. It is near the last station of the South Indian Railway, a station called Ramanada. It is said that here, due to the request of Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, Lord Ramchandra destroyed a small bridge with his bow upon returning to his capital. If one visits Danush Tirtha, he is liberated from the cycle of birth and death. It is also said that if one bathes in Danush Tirtha, he gets all the fruitive results of performing the yajna known as Agni Stoma. Setu Banda is on the island of Pambam. There is a temple of Lord Shiva there called Rameshwar. This indicates that Lord Shiva is a great personality, whose worshipable deity is Lord Rama. Thus, the Lord Shiva found in the temple of Rameshwar is a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from the association of Venkata Bhat, his brothers and his son, and all the devotees in Sri Rangam, he came to a very holy place near Madurai of the name Rishabh Hill. It is named Rishabh Hill Because in the forest surrounding that hill, Lord Rishabhdev, by his own supreme mystic powers, burned his body to ashes. It was at Rishabh Hill that Lord Chaitanya made a connection that would be one of the strongest, most intimate relationships of his life. It was there that he first met the great Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri was staying in the house of a Brahmin performing pilgrimage. He's originally from Trikuta. When Lord Chaitanya found out that he was in the same vicinity, with great excitement, he went to the house of that Brahmin. He fell at the feet of Paramananda Puri. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. And with Dandavat obeisances, he clasped to the feet of Paramananda Puri, knowing him to be a dear godbrother of his own spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. Paramananda Puri lifted Lord Chaitanya up and in great ecstasy embraced him. They remained together in that Brahmin's house for several days, discussing topics of Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya inquired from Paramananda Puri where he was going, Paramananda Puri replied that he was just on his way to Sri Purushottam Kshetra to have the darshan of Lord Jagannath, and then he was going to Bengal to take his bath in Ganga. Is everyone able to hear? Thank you. Lord Chaitanya said that I am just going to Setu Banda, and from there I will be returning to Jagannath Puri. I beg you, with all sincerity, after you bathe in the Ganges in Bengal, please return to Jagannath Puri and let us reside there together, for your association will bring me the greatest happiness. Paramananda Puri agreed to meet Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. We know the story that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri after his South Indian tour, Paramananda Puri was in Navadvip at the house of Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's mother. And when the news came that Lord Chaitanya had arrived in Puri, Paramananda Puri came to Sri Jagannath Puri. And what a beautiful reunion that was. Lord Chaitanya personally arranged for Paramananda Puri's accommodation quite close to his own. and they live there together for the next 18 years continuously. From Rishabda Hill, Lord Chaitanya went to Sri Shaila. There, Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati were living in disguise of two Brahmins. And Lord Chaitanya begged alms from them. Lord Shiva took Lord Chaitanya to a secluded place in the forest, and there they had secret discussions for several days. From there, Lord Chaitanya traveled to Madurai, where he was invited by a very gentle Brahmin to his home. Should we just have kirtan? Because it's very difficult to speak with bands playing. And we'll have lecture this evening at 5 o'clock. Is that better? Huh? If I was in good health, it would be easy, not so difficult to speak over this band playing. So, someone would you like to lead kirtan? There is a story that took place in Sri Rangam where several of Ramanujacharya's gurus were sitting together under a tree on the banks of Chandra Pushkarini in the temple of Ranganath, and they were having Hari Katha. At that time, procession of the deities came by. It was in the morning, and there were drums and horns, and deity was on palanquin. This was a daily affair. And one of the people in the audience of the katha jokingly said that the Lord has come to interrupt his own katha. But Ranganath heard that, and Ranganath told the pujari, from now on, for the next year, there will be no procession in the morning. He said, I want to sit and listen to Hari Katha. So Lord Chaitanya was at the house of this, he was invited for lunch by this Brahmin whose name was Ramdas Vipra. Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the Ketumala River, and he arrived at house expecting prasad to be ready. But he found that Ramdas had not even begun the cooking yet. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Dear sir, can you tell me, is there some problem why you haven't begun cooking?" He said, "Because Lakshman is still in the forest. He hasn't brought back the ingredients for Sita to cook with yet. So we are waiting. Lord Chaitanya was quite pleased with the honest and genuine absorption that this devotee had in Lord Ram's Leela. Lord Chaitanya is the Paramatma who knows the inner intentions of a person's heart. And he understood by the blessings of Sri Ram, this person was totally immersed in his pastimes. Because the pastimes of the Lord are not to be understood simply from a chronological, historical perspective. Although Sri Ram's prakata, or manifested pastimes, took place in the Treta Yuga, they are eternal pastimes. They are always taking place. And they manifest themselves within the heart of those devotees who the Lord chooses to show his special mercy to. So then Ram Dass, he prepared a nice simple lunch prasad for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya enjoyed his offering. And then the Lord saw that Ram Dass looked very sad. He was bitterly lamenting, as well as fasting. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Why do you look so sad, and why are you fasting?" Ram Dass Vipra, he sighed in great pain and revealed his heart. He said, "This Sita Devi is the mother of the universe and the eternal consort of Lord Sri Ram, and she has been touched by that demoniac Rakshasa Ravana. How can I live knowing this? How can I breathe? I have no desire to live. This fact that Ravana has touched my beloved goddess and supreme worshipable deity, Sita, breaks my heart with so much pain that I cannot continue living. What to speak of eating? I must end my life and walk into blazing fire." Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Please, give up your lamentation. It is not necessary to feel like this. Because Sita is the goddess of fortune. Her body is completely spiritual. No materialistic people could see, what to speak of touch, the eternal form of Sita. Spiritual energy is beyond the grasp of material senses. It is impossible for Ravana to have even seen Sita, what to speak of touch her. It was a false Sita, an illusory material form of Sita that Ravana had touched." And Srila Prabhupada, in this regard, explains that the spiritual energy is inaccessible to materialistic people or materialistic senses. the spiritual energy can only be experienced when the Lord, by his own sweet will, reveals himself to us. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When the eyes are ornamented with the salve of love, then we could see the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, the Lord is unapproachable. The holy name is pure spiritual energy. But we can only actually experience the sweetness of Krishna in his name to the extent we please the Lord and he reveals himself to us by our devotion. The deity is none different than the Lord himself. But the deity actually reveals his true spiritual nature in proportion and according to our surrender and devotion. So the Lord is all merciful, but the Lord is the supreme controller. He never, ever, ever comes under control of material energy. Tribir gunamalaya bhavaya. These three modes of material and nature are always controlled by the Lord. And the Lord's spiritual potency, his sladini shakti, sita, she is always superior to the inferior energy. Therefore, how even such a powerful materialist as Ravana, by his strength, by his knowledge, by his mystic power, could he possibly have access to Sita? It is impossible. But for the purpose of performing this wonderful Leela, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheated Ravana by creating an illusory material form of Sita. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this to Ramdas Vipra and said, please be certain that what I am speaking is the truth. Give up your sorrow and take nice prasad. Hearing Lord Chaitanya's very compassionate explanation, Ramdas Vipra took prasad. From there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Rameshwaram. First he bathed in the Danush Tirtha, and then he came for the darshan of Rameshwar. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that while he was here in the temple of Rameshwar, he learned that there was a copy of the Kurma Purana that the Brahmins were studying. And Lord Chaitanya heard an excerpt from the Kurma Purana where it authoritatively explains the story of the chastity of Sita. And how before Ravana kidnapped Sita, Agnidev took the real Sita and put her under the protection of Parvati and brought the false illusory Sita for Ravana to kidnap. And after the destruction of Ravana and his dynasty in Sri Lanka, the original Sita was returned to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to read this that he asked the priests of the temple if he could be given possession of the original manuscript that they had of Kurma Purana, which was very ancient. The Brahmins here at Rameshwaram, they had scribes copy a new manuscript, and they gave Lord Chaitanya the original because it was very old. I remember a similar situation when I was serving Prabhupada by giving lectures in colleges in America. I met Professor Larson and Professor Sharma of Slippery Rock State College. That is the first place that Prabhupada preached to the youth of America in 1965. Prabhupada gave a lecture in YMCA in Butler, Pennsylvania, and there was an article in the newspaper, Butler Eagle, about a sannyasi in Butler, Pennsylvania, from India. This was a big sensation. Butler, Pennsylvania is quite a boring town, to say the least. And to have an Indian Swami there giving lecture, not many people came, but still it was not a sensation, it was just unusual. So it made the newspapers. And Professor Larson, he invited Prabhupada to come to Slippery Rock State College to give lectures in his classes. Some years later, I gave lectures in those same classes, and Professor Larson gave me a tour of all the places that Prabhupada had visited. We were sitting on a little bench on a lawn under some trees, and he told me how unassuming and simple and humble Srila Prabhupada was. And he said, but he was very insistent that I buy 3 books. He said they were the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That he personally, he told Professor Larson, I personally brought these books on a cargo ship all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to America just to give to my friends. So please buy these books and put them in your library. So Professor Larson bought the books, put them in the library. And I said, are they still there? This was in the early 1980s. He said, I don't know. I put them in this library in 1965, in the month of September. So I said, can I go to the library to see? I went to the library, and the amazing thing, as soon as I walked into that library, I saw the books on a shelf. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of books. It's a college library. As soon as I walked in, I just looked and I saw the books. And I walked over to them. They were effulgent. And I took it off the shelf and opened. And when I opened, the binding crackled because it was the first time the book had been opened practically. Maybe it was the second time because there was a library card in each book. And since 1965, nobody had ever taken out those books. In other words, they were brand new. And those brown-covered Indian-published Srimad Bhagavatams, by the 1980s, anyone who had them, they were all raggedy and broken up because they weren't printed with very high quality here in the great land of India. This was a treasure. It was brand new and historical. These books were personally put in the library by the hands of Srila Prabhupada. In 1965, he gave the books to Captain Pandey. He sold a set to Sally Agarwal. This is probably the third or fourth set of books that Prabhupada distributed in America. So we had a congregation of devotees we were preaching to in a place called Meadville, Pennsylvania, which was not far. And I asked, and I gave them brand new Srimad Bhagavatams, published the same year, in the 1980s. And I said, why don't you go to the library and take out the old ones and say that you'll give them brand new ones instead? Yes? So they did it. They went to the library and they took out the old ones, and when it was time to bring them back, they said, actually, we have brand new ones, the same editions. Would you like it? And, oh, yes, yes, we'd rather have new ones than old ones. So in this way, we got those original sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we put them in Srila Prabhupada's palace at New Vrindavan, where they are now. Only Radha Vrindavan Chandra knows. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were following in his footsteps, taking the old and giving new. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the whole Kurma Purana written, handwritten, brand new, exact replica. And then he took the old manuscripts. And Lord Chaitanya, after leaving Rameshwaram, brought those manuscripts back to Madurai, where he went to the house of Ramdas Vipra and said, I want to show you Shastric evidence that Sita was never touched by Ravana, so that you will always be happy. And Ramdas Vipra read from the Kurma Purana, and Lord Chaitanya wanted so much from his heart to convince this person beyond all doubt. That's why he insisted on bringing the original ancient manuscripts. Ramdas Vipra became very happy, and he said that now I understand that you are my beloved Lord Ramchandra, who has personally come to alleviate all my distress and bring me the highest bliss. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassionate nature toward his devotees. Rameshwaram has a great history. Especially in Valmiki Ramayana, the glories of Shetu Banda are declared. Lord Chaitanya considered this to be the southernmost point of India, of Bharat. Although he went to Kanyakumari, whenever he spoke about going to the extent of southern India, he spoke about Shetu Banda. which is an island. In Ramayana, Sita was stolen by Ravana in Panchavati. The Lord's Leela, even from his own heart, he was feeling immense separation. The concept of the false Sita is a philosophical truth, but we should not misunderstand the nature of the Leela of the Lord. Lord Ramchandra was feeling the deep separation of Sita. Searching everywhere. Lakshman, with his sword, was cutting the shrubs and the bushes to make a pathway for Ramchandra to walk on as they were going through thick jungles and forests, searching for Sita. Jatayu gave them the direction, but where she was, by Ramchandra's inconceivable potency, even he didn't know. Isn't this amazing? This is the inconceivable, supreme nature of the Lord. Just like we quoted Srila Prabhupada, an atheistic person asked, can Krishna make a rock that he cannot lift? If he cannot, then there's something he can't do, and then he's not God. And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna can make a rock that he cannot lift, and then he can lift it. But this is for real. He can actually make a rock that he cannot lift. But then he could lift it. So by the Lord's Leela Shakti, although he's all-knowing, he actually, by his own sweet will, he falls in a condition where he doesn't know. It wasn't that Ramchandra was simply like an actor playing. Otherwise, there's no feeling. There's no bhava in Ramayana. Devotees of Ram, they weep and they cry their whole lives when they hear about the abduction of Sita and Ram's lament, and how they were both feeling such deep and intense separation from one another. And Lord Sri Ramchandra wanted to engage his loving devotees, so many loving devotees, in his search for Sita. So thus, by his own sweet will, by his Leela Shakti, he could not find where Sita was hidden. They traveled for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles through jungles and forests, searching and searching. And in the forest, they saw a monster that was hideous to perceive. This monster had no head, no neck. He was just a huge, gigantic trunk, as large as a mountain. Where his belly is, there was a gigantic mouth with razor-sharp teeth. In his chest, there was one huge eyeball. He had bristling, dark blue hair and long arms, each arm 8 miles long. Ram and Lakshman saw this Rakshasa demon from 1 mile away. They saw with his arms, with his hands, he was grabbing elephants, tigers, rhinoceros, deer, all just grabbing, filling his hands, gigantic hands, with these animals, and shoving all the animals in his mouth, one after another, handfuls of animals. As he devoured them, it was horrible to see. Blood dripping from his mouth. All of a sudden, this demon of the name Kabanda, with one hand, he grasped Lakshman, and with the other, Sri Ramchandra, and drew them closer to his mouth to devour. At that point, Lakshman became bewildered. He said, "Ram, this is the end. I've served you this far, but what can we do against this demon? He's about to eat us alive." And Ramchandra said, he indicated to Lakshman what must be done. They cannot yield to fear. So both of them simultaneously drew their swords and sliced off his two arms. Kabanda, with that massive mouth, roared in pain, and his mountain-like body fell back to the ground. Kabanda, with a great roar of pain, he asked, "Who are you?" And Lakshman, he said, "This is Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath. And I am his younger brother, Lakshman. And we have been exiled by our father into the forest for 14 years. And a great demon of the name Ravana has stolen Sita. And we are searching for her. Can you tell us if you know where she is?" Kabanda, he said, "Let me tell you about myself." He said, "I was a Gandharva with a beautiful body. But when you become beautiful, which is an opulence, you also become proud. And when pride enters the heart, then the inclination to compare yourselves, to compare yourself to others, feel yourself superior, and then you criticize. You speak or do things that belittles and offends people. So in my beautiful Gandharva body, I laughed and ridiculed Astavakra Muni, who has an ugly body that is curved in 8 places. And Astavakra Muni cursed me to become a demon and a Rakshasa. I fell at his feet, said, 'Please, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Astavakra Muni said, because you have begged forgiveness, I give you this blessing. That when you are burned by the fire lit by the two brothers, Ram and Lakshman, who are incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you will attain the perfection of life and return to your heavenly planet. So then I fell down and became a Rakshasa. And I had such mighty strength. One time I attacked Indra. And Indra threw his thunderbolt on me. And the nature of the thunderbolt is it is so powerful. It pushed my head, my neck, my arms, my legs, everything into my trunk. I was in a helpless condition. So I begged mercy from Indra. And Indra gave me this form. He gave me an eye in my chest, a mouth in my belly, and he gave me these long eight mile arms. And he said, when Ram and Lakshman cut off your arms and set your body on fire, and you render service to them in that state, then you will attain perfection. So Kabanda said, how lucky I am today that I have met the two of you. Now, please make a gigantic fire over my body and burn me. And when I resume my celestial body, I will give you information of how you will find Sita. Lakshman cut down huge trees. And then he dug a deep pit, huge pit. And they pushed Kabanda into the pit. And they covered his body with trees and lit it on fire. Kabanda started to burn. And as he was burning, an heavenly aerial plane descended from the heavens. It just appeared there. And Kabanda, out from the flames, a beautiful celestial heavenly body appeared, wearing ornaments and jewels. And then this original form of Kabanda spoke that, Ram, if you want someone to help you in your condition, you should find someone that is suffering just like you. Because he will know your heart. He will know your feeling. And you will relate to each other very well. And this person will be dedicated to your cause. So the person you're looking for is Sugriva. Sugriva was also exiled from his kingdom. And Sugriva's wife has also been kidnapped by Bali, his brother. So since he is in a similar condition to you, he will be the perfect person to help you. And he has countless monkey soldiers. If you help him, he will help you. To find Sugriva and make allies with him, you should go to the base of the Rishyamukha mountain, to the body of water named Pampa Sarovar. Kabanda then ascended to the heavens. Ram and Lakshman, they carried on And they arrived at Pampa Sarovar in the evening, took rest on the banks. In the morning, they took their bath in the ambrosial waters of this holy kund. Then they came to the simple hermitage of Shabri. Shabri was a very old, emaciated, ascetic woman. She was performing severe tapasya for years. When she saw Ram and Lakshman, she became overjoyed. She said, "I have been waiting for you. I have been waiting for you for many, many years. I am a disciple of Matunga Rishi." Matunga Rishi, with all of his other disciples, they went back to the spiritual world. But he told me that I must stay behind for further purification, and I have a special service also. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes as the son of Dasarath, Sri Ram, along with his brother Lakshman, you should render humble services to him. And by his blessings, Lord Rama's blessings, you will ascend to the spiritual world. Shabri offered Ram and Lakshman a simple sitting place, washed their feet, offered them fruits, the natural fruits that were growing in that place. We know the famous story. It is said that to make sure each fruit was very sweet, she would taste. If it was bitter, she'd throw it, and if it was sweet from her own mouth, she gave it to Ram. And Ram accepted, because it was done with such simple and innocent devotion for his pleasure. After accepting the humble services of this simple lady, Ramchandra told her, "Now you have satisfied me. You can go back home, back to Godhead." And Shabri, she entered into the sacred fire that was burning in her hermitage and sat in yogic siddhi, and her body was engulfed by the flames. And from the flames, a beautiful young woman with costly garments and jewels came out. That was Shabari's spiritual form. And Ramchandra gave his blessings to go back to her guru's service in the spiritual world. Sri Ramchandra, walking around Pampa Sarovar, was at the banks of Rishyamukha Mountain. He was remembering Sita Devi, and in separation was crying very loud. On the top of a mountain, a distance away, Sugriva heard the crying of someone below. He went into a cave and gathered some of his senior-most associates, including Hanuman, because he was very much concerned who this might be. So they came about halfway down the mountain and looked very carefully, and they saw two effulgent warriors with bows and quivers of arrows. Sugriva's first impression was, my brother Bali has sent them to find me and kill me. Hanuman, go down in the disguise of a Brahmin and find out who they really are. Sri Hanumanji, the chief minister of Sugriva, by his mystic powers took the form of a gentle Brahmin and met Ram and Lakshman at the base of Rishyamukha Mountain on the bank of Pampa Sarovar. Hanuman bowed down with folded hands. When he looked at Ram, an ecstasy of love awakened within his heart that he had never experienced before. His body was trembling. He felt that he knew this person better than he's ever known anyone ever before. He felt that he loved this person more than he ever knew how to love. Hanuman felt within his heart that this must be the incarnation of the Lord. And then Hanuman was asked by Lakshman, who are you? And he said, I am Hanuman. I'm a monkey, but I'm in disguise as a Brahmin under the order of Sugriva, who is my master. And he has asked me to come down here to find out who are you. But I cannot keep my disguise in your presence. Then Hanumanji manifested his original form. And Ram told Lakshman to explain. And Lakshman told the whole story of Ram's birth in Ayodhya, his marriage to Sita in Mithila, his banishment into the forests by the envy and insecurities of Kaikeyi, their wonderful life in Chitrakoot, the abduction of Sita in Chapanchabati. And then he told about the information they received from Kabanda, that to find Sita, we want to make allies with Sugriva. And Hanuman said, I am his prime minister. Jump on my back and I will take you to him in one leap. So Ram jumped on one shoulder and Lakshman jumped on the other shoulder. And Hanumanji was so ecstatic rendering this personal service. And he jumped and in one leap he scaled a mountainside and came to the presence of Sugriva. Sugriva explained his predicament. Sugriva told that Bali, who is son of Indra, is my older brother and very, very powerful. And I was so happy all my life to serve him in a subordinate way. We had such deep and dear friendship. But one time, a demon of the name Mayavi attacked Kishkinda. And he roared very loudly and challenged Bali to a fight. And Bali went, and they began fighting, and then Mayavi ran away. And Bali was chasing after him. And Bali brought me with him. Together we chased and ran and ran and ran, and we saw Mayavi run into an underground cave. Bali ordered me, "You stay right here and do not go anywhere until I come out. I will go in and kill this demon." So I heard nothing but silence for one full year. And under the order of my brother, I guarded the entrance of the cave. And then I heard loud, loud howling and screaming. I heard Bali screaming. And then a river of blood flowed out the entrance of the cave. And I waited a long time. No one came out. So I came to the conclusion that Bali, my brother, was killed. So I took a huge boulder of rock and covered the cave to seal the demon inside. And I returned to the kingdom of Kishkinda. And the ministers concluded Bali is dead. There must be a king. So they had a coronation ceremony and made me their king. And I accepted that role on behalf of my brother for some time. And one day, Bali appeared. He was ferociously angry when he saw me sitting on his throne with his crown. And I explained to him, "I thought you were dead. You were, a year went by." Bali said, "I looked in that dark cave for 1 year till I found the demon. Then I killed him. But you sealed the cave off just to get rid of me so that you could take my throne." And Bali attacked me and he overpowered me. He would have killed me, but somehow I ran away and I came to this place. I came here because this is the one place in the world Bali cannot come to harm me. And then he told a story. He said, long ago, a gigantic demon in the form of an animal, horrible animal, his name was Dundubi. He fought against Bali. And although this demon was huge like a mountain, Bali picked him up, killed him, and threw him. And he threw him in such a way that Dundubi's dead body fell in the ashram of Matunga Rishi, and the blood of his corpse splattered on the sacrificial arena of the Rishi. Matunga Rishi cursed whoever has defiled my ashram by throwing this demon in here. He said, if he comes within 4 miles of the radius of my ashram, he will immediately die. Hare Krishna. So, this is the only place we can stay. Ramchandra said, you help me find Sita, I will kill Bali and coronate you as the king. Sugriva said, the worst part of it is not only Bali has stolen my wife and will not allow her to join me. Ramchandra and Bali then held hands to make a pact of allegiance. And Hanumanji started a sacred fire. And he was a great priest. Hanumanji chanted the mantras, and Ram and Sugriva sat around the fire to consecrate the vow of their total allegiance to one another. Now Bali, he said to Ram, Sugriva said to Ram, how do I know that you have the strength to kill Bali? He said, he pointed to the skeleton bones of Dundubi, which were like a mountain, probably weighing millions of pounds. He said, Bali lifted up his body and threw him. Can you lift his body? The bones of his body? Ramchandra effortlessly picked up that body with one hand and threw Dundubi's skeleton for 8 miles away. And there were 7 huge, thick sal trees. Bali said that Sugriva was able to uproot these trees. That's how powerful he was. Could you pierce these trees with your arrow, even one of these trees with your arrow? Ramchandra drew one arrow. It went through all 7 trees within a moment. Then it went right into the earth, to the subterranean worlds, then came back out after piercing through the whole world and went back into his quiver. And Ramchandra asked if that answers his question. Sugriva had faith. So Ram told Sugriva, now you go challenge Bali to a fight and I'll be there to help you. And Sugriva went out and called, Bali, you nonsense. How dare you be living with my wife? I challenge you to a fight. When Kshatriyas are challenged, they become very angry. So Bali roared and he charged out. And they started fighting and fighting and fighting. And Sugriva actually came out of that 4 mile area to where, first time in years, where he was accessible to Bali. And they were fighting, and both were strong as anything. They were fighting for a long time, fighting, 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 but finally, after time passed, Bali was getting the upper hand, and Sugriva understood. He was about to be killed. Where's Ram? Ram promised me that he would be there to protect me. So ultimately, Sugriva somehow or other just slipped out of Bali's grasp and ran away back into that 4 mile safety zone.